You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back. Hour two of three this Saturday evening, March the 11th. We have had a total of 4 hours of broadcasting under our belts so far this month, and already we've taken you to England, to Australia, to Canada, and to Croatia. We're going to briefly pause our international travels this hour because I need to. We're going to catch up on a busy week of news with Keith Alexander the Great. And then we're going to resume our march around the world in Brazil in our third hour tonight. And for the rest of the month, we're going to continue to globetrot around this spaceship Earth of ours. And we'll see where we land. We're going to be all over the place, as we already have been. Well, Keith was supposed to be with me in the studio tonight, but he got about halfway to the studio, and he had a blowout on the interstate, had to call AAA, get a tow back to his house, and so that's why he missed the interview with Tom Sunich. But he's here with us now, alive and well and safe and sound and getting a new tire and all of that. Keith, great to have you in any way we can get you.
Well, I appreciate that. All's well that ends well, and I think everything is, you know, done pretty well, considering. It's kind of a rainy, cold day here in Memphis, but AAA came through in the pinch, the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, pretty quick. I was ready to hop in the car and come out and rescue you, but I couldn't get there before AAA, which is saying something. When I had a blowout in Alabama, I waited about, 4 hours, and they never even showed up. A good Samaritan on his way home from church helped me out. So anyway, you just never know. But I tell you, if you had gotten here, maybe God's hand was involved, because if you'd have been here, I don't know if we could have squeezed you in. Tom was certainly amped up for that interview, and he had a lot to cover, and he covered a lot in an hour.
Well, that's his style, and he's jam-packed full of information, and the best thing you can do with Tom is basically just, sit back and let him roll.
Well, and he rolled. I tell you, that was a information-packed hour that he gave us, and staying up to 2 a.m. to do it. There were a couple of other things I wanted to ask him about. He had a recent trip to Belgrade by invitation of the Institute for European Studies, where he gave a lecture. I wanted to ask him a little bit more about what he talked about. I wanted to talk a little bit about more about his time as a diplomat. I mean, you know, he's been 8 years. We can call ourselves ambassadors of our people or spokesmen for our people, but he actually had a full-on government sanction and commission as a diplomat, and he served in different positions, London, Copenhagen, and Brussels, as I mentioned, and I wanted to ask him a little bit more about that work. You know, after all the years we've had him on, we've never asked him about his time as a diplomat, really. And we'll do that next time. But if you go to his Wikipedia page, now, this is an accomplished academic, a scholar, an author, a diplomat. But if you go to his Wikipedia page, the first thing you'll read is the Southern Poverty Law Center says Tom Sunich is a white supremacist. So I think that's the first thing Wikipedia wants to
know. Because he's rubbed shoulders with us. And I'll never forget his visit over here. It was a great time. And, he's always welcome back. The welcome mat's always out for Tom at my house. I'm sure it's your house, too.
That's absolutely true. So the aforementioned Southern Poverty Law Center got into a little bit of hot water this week. I don't know if anybody knows about that. What do you know about it, Keith?
I know you were the bird dog that first brought it to the attention of the media generally, although other people are taking credit for it.
Well, let me tell you what happened with that. I'll tell you very quickly what happened with that, ladies and gentlemen. I received a tip from a young man in the New York, New Jersey area. He monitors the Antifa Watch Telegram channel. And that's basically a collective. When Antifa gets arrested, they dig into their backgrounds to see what's what and who's who. And so this young man
He's a friend of our program, by the way.
No, he's absolutely. Obviously, he's a friend of our program if he has my phone number. And he texted me with this information. He says, I think that one of the Antifa rioters who was just arrested and charged with domestic terrorism on an attack on a police facility in Atlanta is a staff attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, a lot of times fanciful things like that just don't pan out. But my contact provided me with the DeKalb County, that's right there in Atlanta, arrest report and other corroborating evidence. So once I was convinced that it was true, and Brad Griffin helped ferret out some information on this too, I said, Brad, could this possibly be true? You're a good researcher. Can you look into it? Brad found that a local reporter in Atlanta for WSB-TV had confirmed that this was a Southern Poverty Law Center staff attorney. So once I was convinced that this was true and not just an allegation or libel or slander or hearsay, I posted evidence of this man's arrest and his affiliation with the SPLC to my Twitter account at 12:15 in the afternoon, and it immediately went viral. It was shared by numerous GOP elected officials and prominent reporters for Fox News, among others. My original post thread generated 1 million views in less than 24 hours. Folks, this thing got so big, so fast, that it was trending nationally on Twitter by the time that Tucker Carlson covered it on his nightly television program. Elon Musk himself weighed in on this. So
to your reputation as being the Southern nationalist version of Forrest Gump. You're there at the right place at the right time.
Well, I didn't break this story. I want to be very fair and very clear. I didn't break this story. I wasn't on the scene. A local reporter for WSB reported it in Atlanta, but I think his tweet had about like four notices or four likes or retweets or whatever. And I certainly wasn't the member of the Antifa Watch Collective who did the digging on this, but I think you can say that we were certainly one of the ones, if not the one. I don't know if there was anybody prior to 12:15 p.m. on the day that we posted this that had it break in a big way. And it broke in a big way. A million views in a few hours is a big break. And especially when you're being retweeted by elected Republicans and prominently elected Republicans, I might add, and prominent reporters for Fox News. So well, you know, we had a big hand in that.
The importance of this episode and the fact that the SPLC had a staff attorney out there at that so-called demonstration, I'd call it more like a riot, tells you that they're not just a reporting agency, they're an instigating agency. They get things like this stirred up, and that's their purpose. These people are like the Jacobins were in the French Revolution or the Bolsheviks were in the Russian Revolution. These are hardcore revolutionaries, and they get paid because Jewish power and influence is behind all of these left-wing organizations like the SPLC, the ADL, the list goes on and on. But this is, you know, it's a great career choice if you're a radical. You can be paid. Unfortunately, if you're a conservative, there is no Jewish backing, so to speak, that is going to provide you with the money. And that's where all the money comes from. Don't kid yourself about it. This guy is, he's much more than just a reporter. He's associated with the National Lawyers Guild, which is a radical organization. It dates from
Let me pause in. So they both have officially sounding names, the Southern Poverty Law Center. It sounds very official. It doesn't sound like just a left-wing advocacy group or fundraising operation. The National Lawyers Guild sounds very regal, sounds very legitimate, but is it?
No. The National Lawyers Guild they had lawyers at the ready. They brought out busloads of them to some of these demonstrations like Selma and Birmingham and Memphis and other places to be at the ready with stacks of money provided by their financiers. It was founded by Jewish people. In fact, you know, Kathy Boden, the mother of Chesa Boden, the recently kicked out district attorney for San Francisco because he was a Soros plant and was so radically left-wing that even San Francisco couldn't stomach him. His mother had a, I think it was her father or grandfather, Leonard Boden, who's one of the founders of the National Lawyers Guild. These people have been left-wingers almost from the inception, from the time they stepped off the boat at Ellis Island, probably. And they've been working tirelessly all of these years to undermine the traditional American society and culture that, you know, welcomed them. So the National Lawyers Guild was very instrumental in providing legal help for demonstrators in, you know, the civil rights movement, and also in other left-wing movements that we've had, the feminist movement, the homosexual rights movement. All of these things have been supported and have, see, we don't have that on the right. We do not have an organization that's the equivalent of the National Lawyers Guild that will provide us with free legal representation.
So this, we're getting into the SPLC's defense. I want to be very clear and very precise in what I say. I don't want to go too far on to that, on what the National Lawyers Guild is and why we don't have something like that. Let's just very quickly recalibrate here. That we had a hand in getting this story out. Now, it was just the event of catching lightning in a bottle. It was almost dumb luck. We had the right information. We posted it at the right time before other people were really getting on this. And then within minutes, and certainly within an hour or two, it was everywhere. And not everybody retweeted us. We got a million views and thousands of retweets and things like that, and comments and likes. But on Twitter, but other people got the information and then made their own posts about it, independent of ours, which also got retweeted. It was a snowball effect. So, and the backlash, by the way, was so intense against the Southern Poverty Law Center, who for so long have libeled and slandered well-meaning and good-hearted dissidents with all of these slurs, that for them to have a staff attorney be arrested and charged with domestic terrorism, this thing snowballed very quickly. They disabled comments from being posted to their account on social media. It got so intense. So now I was contacted by
caught with their hand in the cookie jar, basically, James. And see, this is important because it basically explodes the myth that they like to project. They're just reporting the news. They're just, you know, it's like Jack Webb on the FBI or the Dragnet program, just the facts. We're there reporting factually. No, they're not. This guy was on the ground participating in this demonstration / riot, call it whatever you want to. And this...
Well, I'm going to ask you... I want you to respond to this. I got a comment from an attorney in Georgia, and I want you to respond to it. But first of all, let me say this. I was contacted by multiple reporters on the day of my post who were still searching for the information themselves, who went on to write their own stories about it. It was a bombshell development. Now, the only one I actually gave a comment to was to John Friend of the American Free Press, our good friend John Friend. That was the only one that I actually gave a comment to. For everybody else, I just pointed them in the direction of the evidence. But to John, I said, he wanted to comment on this whole situation, and my comment was this. And subscribe to the American Free Press, by the way, America's last real newspaper. Last month, 20 state attorneys general co-signed a letter that was sent to the Department of Justice and the FBI asserting that the SPLC has been utterly discredited as a reliable source. That, now coupled with the bombshell news that a staff attorney for the SPLC has just been arrested and charged with domestic terrorism, should forever shield well-meaning and law-abiding citizens from the baseless smears of this nefarious organization. That was my one and only quote to the press. So this snowballed, tens of millions of people saw it, and we had a big hand in that. And when I say we, I mean me and you and all of us together, the people who tune in and support this program. And I have to say that the timing of this whole thing was particularly delicious in light of the fact that the SPLC just published its 79th article attacking this program just last week. So all of this was
serendipitous. Well, their veneer of respectability has been shredded between
the Harper's
Bazaar,
magazine,
there are all sorts of organizations and news organizations that have pierced this veil that they have around them of holiness and righteousness and whatnot. These people are Jacobins. They are Bolsheviks. They are spiritually speaking, and they are not up here trying to protect poor little old black people who are being attacked by the Ku Klux Klan. That's how they cut their teeth, but they have gone far beyond that. This incident shows that they have people on their payroll that are actually not news reporters. They are news makers. They are going out there and, you know, being one of the leaders in the Cop City demonstrations, the anti-law enforcement. You know, you hear things like defund the police. Well, this is the physical manifestation of defunding the police. They want to tear down and destroy and prevent this law enforcement training center that has been planned and is being in the process of being constructed. They want to smother it in the cradle. That's what they want to do. They're not friends of law enforcement. They're not trying to enforce legal rights. They're trying to prevent law enforcement from doing its job.
So here's the background on what happened there in Atlanta. Police say that Antifa organized a musical concert as cover to launch a premeditated terrorist attack on the construction site for the new Atlanta Police Training Center. Now, the perpetrators here caused hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage using firebombs to set buildings and construction equipment on fire. 26 people were arrested and charged with domestic terrorism. Almost all of them were for out of state. Two of them are from foreign countries, including Canada and France. And of the 26 people arrested, or 23 people arrested, I believe, one was the staff attorney for the Southern Park.
And one more important factor on that, there was one person out of all of those people that were arrested and put in jail that has bonded out, that has had someone step up to provide bail money for them. Guess who that was? The SPLC representative.
That was the only one that was actually granted bond, and that's interesting.
And it was a paltry amount, $5,000. You know, bondsmen charge you 10%. So basically, for $500, that guy walked while all these other people are in jail. See, I don't know when people on the left are going to realize that there's a hierarchy over there, and their sacrifices really aren't appreciated, even by organizations like the SPLC or the National Lawyers Guild and others. See, these people, they decide who the movers and shakers are. And the fact that he was bonded out lets you know that he was a mover and shaker in this organization and in this particular episode.
It would appear so. Let's be clear. It would appear so.
That's the evidence. The thing is, why is there one person and one person alone who is bonded out, and why is it just happens to be the person that's on
the
legal staff
of
the SPLC?
Well, here's why. Because with $700 million, you can still cause a lot of mischief. That's what they have in the bank. $700 million buys power and media influence. It also buys, perhaps, judicial influence. And
who knows?
We know that we live in this woke system in which some people can get away with anything. This is a system that is rigged in their favor. And this guy will probably skate. If I had to bet, I would bet that he will probably skate. Some people may swing.
He's not going to be like the QAnon shaman and be put in jail for years without having a hearing. And also, he's not going to be forced into a plea deal where he spends 4 years more in jail. That's not going to happen.
You got $1 billion in the bank. You can buy power and influence. And I think he's going to probably skate. But I think also, though, ultimately he'll skate. I think that this still stings the SPLC, because here are the facts as it stands now. Here are the facts. Obviously, he's innocent until proven guilty. But the facts are that he was arrested and charged with domestic terrorism. That's all we know so far. I will give them the grace that they don't give us, that he is innocent until proven guilty. But you know what? There was no proof that Dylann Roof was ever tied to the Council of Conservative Citizens. Allegedly, he went to their website one time, and the SPLC ran with this totally fictitious and manufactured narrative that because he visited the CFCC website one time, that was entirely responsible for his murders at the black church in Charleston. They didn't give the CFCC any benefit of the doubt. There was not even a real link or tie there. He certainly wasn't employed by the CFCC, as this man is, who has been arrested and charged with domestic terrorism, is employed by the Southern Poverty Law Center. I can tell you this, Keith, nobody that I've ever worked with, nobody I've ever interviewed has ever caught a domestic terrorism charge.
Yeah, it's just, where there's smoke, there's fire. And in this situation, he was caught participating in the alleged, illegal action. There are photographs, there is film, and I've seen him, people, they say this is him, and it's circled, involved in, destruction of property, things like this. We'll find out what the truth is, hopefully, if they have a hearing on this. But the fact that he alone gets out and gets out at this bargain basement bail of $5,000, I mean, a $5,000 bail is not a serious impediment to anyone getting out of jail. I bet all the people at January the 6th that were imprisoned wish that they had been offered to be released in lieu of trial by paying a $5,000 bond or posting a $5,000 appearance bond, which is basically what this is in this case. We got to understand that we have two-tiered justice in this nation now, and that the left gets all the advantages and we get all the disadvantages on the right.
Hey, believe me, I did. Got charged with domestic terrorism, walks. Only one of 23 to walk. He walked. I have a slam dunk libel suit backed up by every precedent, including the legal textbook definition of libel. I get thrown out of court. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Daylight saving time returns this weekend. Clocks spring forward in most of the U.S. starting at 2 a.m. Sunday. Daylight saving time is not observed in Hawaii and Arizona, except on the Navajo Nation. The time change is aimed at having an extra hour of daylight, which is a big reason those warm weather states don't go along with it. Missing in Mexico after three women went shopping.
Three women who went to Mexico on a shopping trip have been missing for 3 weeks. The three traveled from Texas to Mexico. Missing persons posters have been put up in the Mexican state of Nuevo León. Two of the women are from Peñitas, a Texas town on the U.S.-Mexico border. They left that town on February 25th to go to a flea market in the Mexican town of Montemorelos. I'm John Schaefer.
The White House is denying reports President Biden has approved a controversial oil drilling project in Alaska. The New York Times and Bloomberg were among the media outlets reporting the Interior Department will officially give its go-ahead for the $8 billion Willow Project next week. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said no final decision has been made. The controversial ConocoPhillips Arctic drilling project is strongly opposed by environmentalists and Native American groups. What does the term woke mean to you?
Republican politicians have turned the word woke into a catch-all target for everything from political correctness to so-called cancel culture. But a majority of Americans see woke as something positive, an awareness of social injustice. A new USA Today Ipsos poll finds that 56% see it that way, including three-quarters of Democrats and more than a third of Republicans. About a quarter across party lines say they don't know enough about the term to make a judgment call.
That's Skip Kelly reporting. Remember, push your clocks ahead 1 hour heading to bed tonight. This is USA News.
Attention, small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You could recover up to $26,000 per employee today. And all you have to do is make one short 10-minute call to take your business up a notch or bounce back from these difficult couple of years. Omega Accounting Solutions can help you recover any payroll tax overpayments you made during the pandemic. You may even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute ERC consultation to determine if you qualify. Omega is the small business champion, with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. They know their stuff so well that CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. Call 800-300-9ERC. That's 800-300-9ERC. 1-800-300-9ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredit.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are briefly pausing our march around the world to make mention of this story because it is so huge. And again, just coming a week later, literally a week after, the SPLC published its 79th article attacking yours truly and some of my wonderful associates, including the great and good Sam Bushman and this network itself. A week later, wow, what a comeuppance. I have, for all the
You know, it's
times,
bad luck
the SPLC...
when they go after you, James, because, see, they first of all, they go after you. Then we have this 20 senators coming out denouncing them in a letter to the FBI director.
Attorney generals, yeah, yeah.
Attorney general, yeah. The attorney generals of 20 out of 50 states basically resoundingly gave the SPLC a no confidence vote and said that the FBI needs to stop relying on information from them because they're not a reliable source.
Nope.
And then this happened. Then you know, basically it's they need to figure out that they need to leave you alone, Jane, because it's a bad luck to go after James and the political.
Well, I tell you what, God's will be done. I can't take full credit for this. We were in the right place at the right time with the right information.
No,
it could have still happened.
It's like, to bring it on. It's just karma, basically, the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, no, I think I do believe that. It's like, you know, if Columbus hadn't have found America with some other, you know, person, yes, obviously. But this is the situation, though. We were able to get it out there a little bit earlier if you look at the timestamps. And a million views in a few hours is pretty profound, especially when you look at some of the people who were retweeting that. And then by that very night, the very same night, Tucker Carlson was covering it. And this is what he had to say. Let's take a listen to this clip from Tucker Carlson tonight.
Poverty or the South, it exists solely to destroy the lives of anyone who stands in the way of the Democratic Party, usually in the most vicious way. That's why the FBI often cites the Southern Poverty Law Center when it calls people domestic terrorists. But it turns out, and this will not shock you, domestic terrorism is coming from inside the house. Fox's Trace Gallagher has that amazing story for us tonight. Hey, Trace.
Hey, Tucker, just so we're clear, the Atlanta police chief called this attack on the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center this weekend a, quote, violent attack for the purpose of anarchy. And it turns out one of the Antifa members arrested and charged with domestic terrorism is 28-year-old Thomas Juergens, an attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Juergens is accused of using a peaceful protest as cover for conducting a violent coordinated attack on both buildings and police officers in Atlanta. Now, it's interesting that Juergens is accused of using peace to justify violence because the Southern Poverty Law Center has long been accused of monitoring hate while propagating hate. In fact, the SPLC has identified almost 1,000 people, organizations, and charities as hate groups, with the word hate being defined as anything SPLC disagrees with. Muslim women's rights activist Ayaan Hirsi Ali was labeled as a white nationalist by SPLC, and yet the FBI continues and has used SPLC as a source for who should be considered domestic terrorists. The Southern Poverty Law Center released a statement saying that Thomas Juergens was simply a legal observer and that the arrest of the violent protesters is nothing more than state repression by heavy-handed police, except the heavy hands tossing the Molotov cocktails belong to Antifa members.
Incredible. Trace Gallagher, thanks for that.
You know, it's amazing, Keith, that now the most popular and widely watched television news anchor is saying things about the Southern Poverty Law Center that we were saying 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years ago on this program, but now they have caught up to us, and it's a wonderful thing. That was the very same night of the social media posting that we made, raising awareness of this, and of course, it snowballed. A lot of other people were doing it too. So that's something, and I think that this has to sting them. And it certainly shields people from their attacks. So if this is another comment, the SPLC statement.
People are becoming aware.
Well, the SPLC statement on this sounds like downright anarchist. If Juergens, the SPLC employee, was truly just an observer, not engaged in violence, why did the National Lawyers Guild and the SPLC condemn the arrest of everyone? They condemned the arrest of everyone in their group, including those who threw the Molotov cocktails. If you read their statements, they finally broke their silence many hours later. The statements did not deny the violence, which the police caught on video. And obviously, anyone can claim after the fact that they were an observer. I have never heard of lawyers actively attending the firebombing of a police facility before, Keith. Now, correct me. You're an attorney, lifelong attorney. Correct me if I'm wrong. The SPLC is lashing out over this, but as we have seen, it all it takes is one corrupt judge to let this guy off the hook, and I think that we'll probably find that at the end of the day. But I hope that the conservative establishment does not let this fade away, because right now you've got sitting senators, you've got Marsha Blackburn, you've got sitting members of Congress and others that are totally going after the SPLC over this, which is good, and I hope that they don't forget it. And I think from now on, I think you will see when the SPLC criticizes us or someone we know or someone we don't know with their ridiculous hate group listing, or the Southern Poverty Law Center said, you know, they're so often used as a source. If you look at the hundreds, really thousands of articles that the political cesspool has been, or yours truly have been attacking over the years, I would say 90% quote the SPLC. The SPLC says James Edwards is da-da-da-da-da. The SPLC says the political cesspool is yada-yada-yada. I think now a lot of people will have the comeback saying, oh, you mean the group whose employee was charged with domestic terrorism? That group? Yeah, they don't like us. I think it defangs them a little bit.
Everything that the left does is the opposite of what they portray it to be. Like the civil rights movement wasn't pro-black, it was anti-white. The feminist movement wasn't pro-woman, it was anti-male. The homosexual rights movement wasn't pro-homosexual, it was anti-heterosexual. Well, guess what? The SPLC, which supposedly reports to a sleeping public about domestic terrorists, is not reporting or trying to prevent domestic terrorism. They are inciting it and performing it. That's what Thomas Juergens' arrest shows in this. He's out there thick as thieves with his Antifa buddies. He's one of them. That's the type of person that's attracted to
now. Let's talk about that
for the SPLC.
I got to ask you this. I mean, was he or was he not? I mean, that's the question, because they're saying he was not part of them. He was there as a legal observer. Now, why is an attorney going along with this? Why wasn't he calling the police once they started committing acts of terrorism? Now, I asked I asked Sam Dixon about this, and this is what he said. Lawyers are not allowed to become part of a client's criminal enterprise. A lawyer, and Vitor published this comment. A lawyer cannot advise the client on how to effectuate a forgery. He cannot ride along in the visit to the businessman in which the mob will demand protection insurance. Hovering around while terrorists are torching a police car and engaging in other such criminal conduct cannot be justified by a claim that one is acting as in-house counsel. Now, do you agree with that, Keith? And are there any other instances throughout recorded memory where a lawyer goes along to something like this and he gets off the hook by saying, oh, well, I'm just an attorney. I'm just here to provide counsel for these people who are actively committing a crime in my presence.
Look, there's a long history of mainstream media personages like Walter Lippmann or what was that guy? Had the Irish name that reported on the Holodomor in Ukraine in 1933 and said that Stalin wasn't starving people, this, that, and the other. He was complicit in a cover-up. Now, I don't know exactly what Thomas Juergens did, but the police thought he was a rioter, and they arrested him. If he had been there like Jimmy Olsen cub reporter in the Superman series with a little press badge in his hat or something like this, they wouldn't have done that, but he was out there in the thick of it.
You have to imagine that he said, I'm wearing a green hat. Obviously, that absolves me of guilt. Obviously, that means I'm with the National Lawyers Guild, and therefore, I'm, you can't arrest him. I mean, you would imagine
well,
he would
who knew
that case
wearing
on the
a green hat, you know, or a red hat or whatever is supposedly, you know, he doesn't have a press badge on there. You know, people that have press credentials and are just reporters, they generally have a badge on them. They have something there so that they can show the police, look, I'm not participating in this. I'm reporting on it. He obviously didn't have that, or else he wouldn't have been arrested.
Well, I think sometimes the National Lawyers Guild people wear a neon green hat and a little vest that says "Legal Observer." But again, I mean, you can't put on that. It wasn't in his mugshot, which is all we've seen. But you can't put on a vest and then perhaps commit a crime. And, well, I got this vest on, so therefore, you know, you
can't. Well, the SPLC has crossed the line. They are not simply reporting the news.
This still hurts them.
They are making the news, okay?
This hurts them. This hurts. There's no, I'll tell you this. There's no way it helps them. There's no way that they are in better standing now than they were a week ago when they published their 79th attack against this radio program. We're going to take one more break, and we'll come back with a little bit more on this, and then we got to continue our march around the world because that's what we do this month. Stay tuned, everybody.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
In message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Well, I'll tell you, the last couple of weeks, we've been pinned down in the foxhole, taking a barrage of attack from America's, well, one of two of America's leading hate groups, along with the ridiculously named Anti-Defamation League. Literally, all they do is defame people with whom they disagree and with whom they hate. And that was my quote to the Southern Poverty Law Center's reporter a few days ago. Let me go back and find that article, and I will read you the quote. I hate to go to the website of an organization that is now linked and tied to domestic terrorism, but I'll do it for you, ladies and gentlemen. And they were trying to get me to disavow this guest and this person and that person. And I said, I haven't responded to SPLC in 18 years, but I, for the first time, I responded back, and I just wrote a very simple sentence. I wrote that, and this, they actually included this in their article, if you can believe it. I am very proud of my radio program and the fine men and women with whom we associate. I do not apologize for associating with people that the Southern Poverty Law Center hates, and I will never disavow any of my friends. That's what I said to them, And as I said, none of those friends have been hit with a charge of domestic terrorism. I mentioned
the
also...
The SCLC is trying to accelerate the decline and fall of the West and America in particular. The mask is off. You know, if this was supposed to be a musical festival or something, why would they send a reporter to be there? They obviously knew it was something more than a musical.
Something's
festival.
Up. I mean, we're hypothesizing, we're guessing here, but I will be very interested to see when the facts come to light and what comes out.
If
but
they
I
ever
know
do.
This. If they ever do, and I listen, I expect this guy to get off, not because necessarily he's innocent. We don't know. He's certainly probably more innocent than the COCC was. He's certainly probably less innocent than the COCC was with any link to Dylann Roof that they put out there as fact.
They didn't catch any so-called press reporter accompanying Dylann Roof to the
The COCC didn't have a legal observer go with Dylann Roof into the church. That's a fantastic point, Keith. But I can tell you this: the SPLC has closed comments from being posted to their tweets because they're being absolutely flooded with criticism from the general public because this went so big. If you just go to a couple of posts, you'll see any given post they were promoting some speaker who was going to be making an appearance. And the first three comments I saw were, will he be passing out Molotov, completely unrelated to this incident, by the way, will he be passing out Molotov cocktails and other incendiary devices? Another comment, does he know how to make a decent Molotov cocktail? I mean, they're getting butchered on their own social media by the general public. And every other comment involves the word terrorist, terrorism, or terrorism group. Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, has called for there to be official investigation into the Southern Poverty Law Center in light of all of this. And this is what he wrote. The SPLC, this is his comment to Fox News, I should say. Matt Gaetz says the SPLC has essentially converted into SPLCADA. They gaslight violence against conservatives while masquerading as an authority on civil rights. Why does the FBI rely on a group, Matt Gaetz asks, who now has definitive ties to staff coordinating and participating, these are Matt Gaetz's words, in activities that local law enforcement categorizes as domestic terrorism. This is yet again another area of investigation that House Republicans must look into when conducting oversight of weaponized agencies. So that's pretty strong stuff there, Keith. As I said,
well, look,
whatever happens with
this,
it does not help them. It does not help them.
Think about this, James. If you are a young person graduating from college or law school or whatnot, he didn't just say, I want to be a reporter. I want to be an observer. I want to do this, that, and the other. No, he wanted to work for the SPLC, which has a well-deserved reputation for being a group of left-wing radicals, people that are a breeding ground for Antifa and whatnot. They're trying to, you know, they work hand in glove with Antifa. And that's another thing that this particular episode shows. He was there with 24 others that were arrested that were just plain Antifa people. You know, Antifa is not a reporting group. It's not a civil rights organization. In fact, according to people in the Democratic Party, like Jerry Nadler, it doesn't even exist. Okay, it's just a bunch of people that, like Fannie Lou Hamer, are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, I'm sorry, that boat won't float anymore. It's quite obvious that they are radicals and they are up to their elbows in, staging things like this. And, there's no way, no other reporters were there that just happened to be along and thought reporters from other sources came out once they got a report from the police that this so-called music festival had turned violent and that they were attacking the people, the policemen, and the equipment in this proposed police training center. So see,
Keith, let me ask you this. What about the precedents? You know, so often you'll hear the left say, oh, they cross state lines. You know, that's supposed to be some big, big, big no-no. If you commit a crime and you cross state lines, that's supposed
to be a
huge enhancement.
You had,
I 21 people that were from out of state, two of that were from out of country. And then what about the Charlottesville president? You don't have to know other people who were there to be involved in a conspiracy with them. Will that conspiracy theory land on the heads of these people, including the SPLC agent who was there,
just like
was also
in the civil rights movement. It was supposed to be spontaneous. It was supposed to be a grassroots uprising of people who were just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it turned out these people were trained professional radical rabble rousers. And that's what it was in the civil rights movement. And that's what it is right now.
I got to play
the Cop City
incident
riot. Yeah.
This has been excellent coverage by you and excellent commentating by you. I want to play. We played the Tucker Carlson clip on the SPLC. I really wanted to get into this hour Tucker Carlson's coverage of January 6th, how he has basically single-handedly torpedoed that entire narrative. I mean, showing the people who are serving 4 years in prison for being escorted by Capitol Police and being shown their way around.
And being held without writ of habeas corpus, which is why am I here? And none of that has happened. These people have been in jail for years now, and nobody's doing anything about it. The legal process is not coming to their rescue. People think that, you know, the law is self-effectuating. When you don't have lawyers at your beck and call like the National Lawyers Guild or the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, this is what happens. What happened to those people on January the 6th is what happens when you don't have that type of monetized.
We're
going to
find time next week. Brad Griffin has it at Occidental Descent. We're going to find time next week to play some of these clips from Tucker Carlson's coverage on the January 6th tapes. Total other bombshell. Too many bombshells this week to cover. I want to tell you one more thing, Keith. I told you this tweet we put out about the SPLC got a million views and really played a role in accelerating the coverage that this got. We had a hand in that, a big hand, a heavy hand. I found another clip that is just brilliant in refuting one of the blood libels against whites that we took the land from the Indians. We've talked about this before. I posted this clip to my Twitter account before the SPLC thing took off, about a day before, and it got 416,000 views. A million views here, half a million views there. Folks, we're making a difference. We've been in the foxhole all week, but still found the time as we're being shelled to fire off a few mortars. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. This is the most beautiful.
We got a couple of tin cans and a string, and we're.
This is one of the most beautiful scenes in motion picture history. I found it. I posted it to Twitter, and it went viral. Listen.
Sitting Bull requested this council. We await his words.
Take your soldiers out of here. They scare the game away.
Very well, sir. Tell me then, how far away should I take my men?
You must take them out of our lands.
What precisely are your lands?
These are the lands where my people lived before you whites first came.
I don't understand. We whites were not your first enemies. Why don't you demand back the land in Minnesota where the Chippewa and others forced you from years before?
The Black Hills are sacred land given to my people by Wahantonka.
How very convenient to cloak your claims in spiritualism. And what would you say to the Mormons and others who believe that their God has given to them Indian lands in the West?
I would say they should listen to Wahantonka.
No matter what your legends say, you didn't sprout from the plains like the spring grasses, and you didn't coalesce out of the ether. You came out of the Minnesota woodlands armed to the teeth and set upon your fellow man. You massacred the Kiowa, the Omaha, the Ponca, the Oto, and the Pawnee without mercy. And yet you claim the Black Hills as a private preserve bequeathed to you by the Great Spirit.
And who gave us the guns and powder to kill our enemies? And who traded weapons to the Chippewa and others who drove us from our home?
Chief Sitting Bull, the proposition that you were a peaceable people before the appearance of the white man is the most fanciful legend of all. You were killing each other for hundreds of moons before the first white stepped foot on this continent.
You conquered those tribes, lusting for their game and their lands, just as we have now conquered you for no less noble a cause.
This is your story of my people.
This is the truth, not legend.
That is a powerful scene. That was a movie, Keith, that came out in 2007. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, we are right about everything. We are right about everything, and we are righteous in our beliefs. And the work we are doing here is worthy of your support. If you are a supporter of TPC, you would have received by now a letter encouraging you to contribute to our first quarter fundraising drive. Folks, we are operating on a higher plane than most. And we would encourage and welcome your support. Please support us. I posted that and it went out to 500,000 people have seen it. We're reaching people. We only reach them with your support. Keith, I want to get you, when you come back in the third hour, a little bit later, to respond to that. And in fact, we might even play it again. I think that's worthy of an encore, even on this very night.
Yeah,
stay tuned, everybody.
What was that movie? You need to know.
I'll tell you now. I'll tell you in the third hour. I'll tell you in the third hour. It's an HBO movie. HBO movie. You got to stay tuned for that, ladies. Little teaser. It was an HBO movie that came out in 2007.
The SPLC will mobilize their forces to censor it, I'm sure.
Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee was the name of it. But HBO original movie, 2007, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. We'll be back. We're going to Brazil in the next hour. Stay tuned, everybody.